So just a little testimony of how I got here. But before this, let's just pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight, Lord. We're here, Lord, to lift up your precious gospel. Lord, to lift you up, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we look to please you, Lord, as we move, Lord, through our lives, those that know you, through our eternal lives, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we see you face to face. But until then, we know, Lord, and we realize there's work to do. Lord, and I pray you would just, Lord, through the services here, through your word and the power of your gospel message, that you would raise up laborers for this mission field. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start back in the 1970s. Mid-1970s, 75-ish, I lived in Northern California. Seemed like I lived there for 10 years, but it was only a year and a half, just under 2 years. In Northern California, Sonoma County. It was about an hour's drive from San Francisco, due north. While I was there, I met a guy whose dad was an ambassador of the United States to another country. Over the years, I've wondered about the man and the mission of his representation. He was trusted with and under the protection of the greatest country in the world. He was trusted to honor our country, our Constitution, our president, and his wishes. Fast forwarding some 20 years later, from the mid-70s to the mid-90s, I found myself confronted with a decision. A decision and a confrontation that lasted about 10 years previous. So I got saved. And I began my journey of eternal life. Saved by grace. It indeed was and still is amazing. There were a couple of things that intrigued me, both since my spiritual birthday and even till today. They are the testimonies of believers and especially of missionaries. And in all of this, I have often said to myself, I could never be like these. I could never do what they do. I thought it was great what they were doing. I couldn't do that. Go where they go, and especially say what they say. Fast forward to 12 years ago. Pastor and Sue came to late LBBC, and we did caroling at Atria Gilderland, at Christmas time. Shortly afterwards, I was approached by their activities director. She said that they had a need, an opening, a Sunday. They had a couple. They usually have a couple at these places. There is a great need. So we answered the call. I spoke with the pastor. We answered the call. And the rest is history. 12 years ago. Seems like yesterday. So it is now the present. I'd like to say thanks to many here today, friends and family, church family, and the like. You all have meant so much to me and my family over the years. Your thoughtfulness, your cards, your prayers, your encouragements. You are, as a church, plugged into ministries, many ministries. I don't think people don't see that going along the way. I had a hard time keeping up with just the many ministries that are coming through these doors and go on in this building. And your faithful servants in service. We're learning and growing together. Challenges, weaknesses, strengths, praying together, precious praying together. Loving one another as the Lord commands. Desiring to be obedient in all of it. The body of Christ. It's ironic we're just starting in the study of Esther in Sunday school. It's a reminder that you and I have been appointed for such a time as this. How will you ever know if you don't give it an honest try? I've been driving around a lot lately. My job, I drive. Here I drive, there I drive. I've noticed a lot of building lately, a lot of buildings, especially in this area right here. We're right in the center of it. And over the past few years, seems like a good percentage of them are some kind of senior center. Not surprising to anyone here. They're rehabs, senior centers. Baby boomers have arrived. We're here, and they're building buildings for us. I'm one. I'm looking out here. There's many out there. How about you? Are you a part of this generation? Would you be as that fella I met in California years ago, would you be an ambassador for Christ? What an honor it was just to know somebody whose father was an ambassador for the United States, but an ambassador for Christ. He calls us out on it. To carve out maybe 2 or so hours a month, or even one, or every 2 months, or once a year. Some of you, maybe many of you, remember Pastor Whitman. How could you forget Pastor Whitman if you knew him? He was my first church pastor and my first teacher in senior ministry, He would remind us from this pulpit here that for many in these homes, it would be their last stop before eternity. Lord knows the heart. He knew mine. But I would have never known my own heart if I didn't step out of the box and just do it. You trip, you fall, you get up, you keep going. Baby steps, and then they develop. He knew mine then and now. He is worthy of our utmost for his highest. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Only Jesus could do that in a person's life. So many hear testimonies like that. God is just taking your heart and giving you a heart of flesh. It's time to awake out of the sleep. I heard a secular statistic on Christian radio a few weeks ago regarding those who volunteer. Secular statistic on Christian radio. About those who volunteer in various ways. The study said that volunteers live 2.5 times longer than those who don't. Take all the vitamins you want. Be a volunteer. This is that was taken. That was a study from the University of Michigan. So we're living, obviously, we're living in the last days. Actually, the last hours. It's not rocket science. The boomers are here. The greatest generation is almost gone. Those who fought in World War II. It is a time of investment. And Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's kind of like Pastor planted a seed, whether he knows it or not, a while back. He's planted a few. Show me some tape of an itinerant preacher. That's what you're doing. You know, you're involved in the ministry, and you're going out, and you're itinerant, you're going here and there, and you're traveling, and you're just carrying the gospel. The fields are white unto harvest. Paul said in Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Not we might, but we shall reap if we faint not. The power's in the gospel. And it's not just when you give it out, it's when you take it in. That's the power, the dynamite of the gospel. Pastors preach so much on these things, or so much material over the past years, that it would take me an eternity to just go over it and absorb it, see what I missed the first time and the second time, because it keeps coming alive. And now, for the message. This is one of the books that there's a couple of them, there's more. These are the two I have. And these are the storylines that you can, if you get involved with this study, with this ministry, it's just mapped right out for you. It's very basic. It's all gospel. And it just gives you, these folks have wrote just so many stories that you can relate to. So I just chose this one today. And there is a reading here. The topic is Christian living and suggested scripture. I'm just going to read from Luke 17 here, where Jesus and the 10 lepers. And now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. See, Jesus is still alive now. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. He's still living. It's still time under the law. And this was a part of the Mosaic law, that they go show themselves, as Jesus commanded them to. And one of them said, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Our story today, the title of it is, Like Birds at a Feeder. How thankful are the birds that gather at the feeder outside your window? Day after day, you see the feeder is filled. You try to protect the birds from predators. You watch as they come and go, grabbing beaks full of seed and often quarreling among themselves over who gets the best pecking spot. But what would happen if you tried to make friends with the birds? What if you tried to give them a special treat from your hand? Would any of them stick around? Light on your shoulder and express their appreciation for your faithful care, anxious to receive further blessings? Jesus, following his foreordained path, was making his way to Jerusalem, to Gethsemane, and then to Calvary. Along the way, in a village on the road between Samaria and Galilee, Jesus saw something unusual. 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan stood together in a pitiful, disconsolate group, deformed hands, oozing sores, round, stubby feet, showed they were lepers, outcasts from Jewish society and religion, peering through diseased eyes. They called from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In a typical healthy Jewish setting, 9 of those men would have drawn their religious self-righteous robes around them, disgusted and repulsed by the presence of a lowly half-breed Samaritan. But the oldest and most dreaded disease known throughout the history of mankind had broken down the walls of prejudice and made them one. One in despair, one in rejection, one in pain and isolation. Now they were one in hope, for Jesus had come their way. In this instance, Jesus did not touch the lepers, but ordered them to go to the Jewish priest who had authority to pronounce a healed leper clean. As one, the 10 men obeyed. As one, received the release from pain, the return of strength and form of limbs, the glow of healthy skin, the clarity of sight. Off to the priest and the 10 men started, ecstatic to be acceptable in Jewish society, overjoyed to be a part of a family circle, free to embrace a child. Then one in suffering, now one in health. Or were they? The odd one in the midst, no longer an outcast leper, but still a Samaritan. Would the Jewish priest pronounce him clean? With a loud voice glorifying God, the stranger left his former companions in misery, and turned back. He had no assurance that the Jewish priest would pronounce him clean, but he knew one who made no distinction between the Jew and Samaritan, one who came to bear the griefs and sorrows of every leper, every sinner. So he turned back and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. But the others, where were they? Were not 10 men healed? Had the 9 returned to the religious system that would soon shout, "Crucify him," to the system that had no dealing with Samaritans? There were those soon to be pierced feet. There at those soon to be pierced feet, the stranger heard that the nine missed. "Arise, go your way, your faith has saved you." They were blessed with health. This one was blessed with salvation. His faith had saved him, made him whole, and that faith had made him one with his Savior. The grateful one was twice blessed. We are like the 9. Are we like the 9 who take the blessings but never thank the blesser? Or give him a chance to bless us twice? Are we like the birds who fear and flee from the one who feeds and protects them? Or are we the Samaritan who returned to give glory to God, falling in gratitude and thankfulness at the feet of the one who blessed him twice, first physically, then spiritually? The stories in the books are basically that time length. That was about 10, 12 minutes. That's about all folks are ready for to handle at the retirement places. You know, sometimes they start dozing, and then when that happens, that's usually my fault for going too long. And then I start, I'll clap loud, or I'll do something, and that might get some attention, but then some of them get into a pretty good sleep there. Just something to read. What we have here is National Nursing Home Week in May. I got to get that the week down, but I just won't make it the month. These are newsletters that they've sent us upon request. I read one here before a while back. I'm just going to read a little piece of it again because this is from a guy by the name of Herm Hakenson, and he was the founder of Sunshine. It says here, you may be new to Care Center Ministry or to Sunshine. If so, please read and catch the vision of the founder and many thousands of others who serve so faithfully, almost unnoticed in the flood of Christian ministries today. And he wrote this quite a while back. 1991 he wrote this. Almost unnoticed in the flood of Christian ministries today is a small company of men and women quietly involved in nursing home and care centers of our land as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ and witnesses of his love and saving grace. It is projected that unless God intervenes, over 50 million of the people now living in 91 in the United States will spend their last days in nursing home care centers. Faced with these staggering numbers, the Christian church is becoming increasingly aware of both the opportunity and the obligation of nursing home care center ministries. If we are to dream of an outreach to the four corners of the earth, we must not and cannot neglect our very own at our very door. In their greatest hour of need. Serving as a hub and a voice for many of the Christians now involved in this ministry is the Sunshine Society of Linwood, Washington. The purpose of the society is to alert the Christian church to the needs and opportunities for Christian service in these facilities. To assist with motivation, training helps, and materials. Very possibly by next Sunday, we'll have a sign-up list. In the back, we'll have postings of newsletters. You're welcome to read them. You're welcome to actually send away for the packets. There's starter packets that they offer for free for individuals who have a burden or are developing a burden for this type of ministry. We're going to turn in our songbook now for a closing song.